You have your Bible turned with us this morning to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to preach this morning for just a little while, if God will be my help, on believing unto salvation. Believing unto salvation. I'm talking about that blessed assurance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That hope that we have that's beside this world. I'm telling you, if you look around the world, there's not a whole lot of things we can put our hope and our trust in. But I want to say there's one that's out of this world. The Lord Jesus that's sitting at the right hand of the Father on high, who died for the sins of the world and arose on the third morning victorious over death and the grave, so that me and you can go free this morning in that free pardon of sin. He died for you and He died for me that we could go free. You say, what are you free from? I'm free from the penalty of sin and death. Amen. That's a hound in our door right now. In Hebrews 4 says, "And it's appointed man wants to die, and after this, the judgment." I want to say, praise be to God. You're sitting here this morning and you have an appointment. Appointment to meet your Maker and give account of your life. But praise be to God, we've got a loving Savior that came and shed His blood, and through His blood, praise God, we can find acceptance in the presence of the Lord. I'm glad of that this morning, ain't you? Acceptance, assurance, praise God, believing unto salvation. I want to preach this morning because I think we need to start this year out knowing where we stand with God. I don't want you to have any doubts. I don't want you to have you. Hey, I want you to know that you're a child of God. And if you're not, that you can be one this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now there's a lot of teachings out there that says that you can't know that you're a child of God. That's hogwash. Amen. God says that we can know that we're saved. If you look at Roman Catholicism, it rejects the doctrine of assurance. Amen. It won't allow you. The Council of Trent in 1546 said that they couldn't claim that you could know that you're saved. Amen. Well, they don't know the God I know. Because my God saves absolutely. Amen. They said in the Council of Trent, and I'll quote, "God does not forsake the one who has been justified." Praise God, I agree with them right there. Amen. All the way. But they don't stop there. They say, unless he first be forsaken by them. Amen. Well, see, if you believe that way, that means it puts it in your hands. I want to say our salvation, praise God, this morning, it's not in our hands. Our salvation is of the Lord, praise God. It's what He did for us on the cross of Calvary that saves us from a multitude of sins. But they go on from there. And they say mortal sin would cause a sinner to forfeit salvation. Now I want to say, praise God, hey listen, we're all sinners saved by grace. But when God saved me, praise God, He saved me from my sinfulness. You say, preacher, you mean you don't sin anymore? No, but I don't have a desire for sin. Amen. When the Holy Ghost of God reveals sin in my life, praise God, I do my best to flee from it. Amen. But what I can't get here is said the mortal sin would... I won't ask you this question this morning. What is a mortal sin? What would that be? Well, they like that because they can pick and choose. But I was looking out here a while ago at the Ten Commandments. And it said, thou shalt not kill. Is killing a mortal sin? Well, the Bible says that thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that a mortal sin? Thou shalt not steal. Is that a mortal sin? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Is that a mortal sin? Oh, no, wait a minute. Thou shalt not covet. Amen. Is that a mortal sin? That pretty much covers the spectrum, doesn't it? So which one would be that mortal sin that's going to send you off into hell? Amen. I tell you, praise God this morning. Hey, God gives us blessed assurance through the precious Word of God, and He gives us through it through His witness. Amen. We can know that we know, praise God this morning, that we belong to a holy Savior. Amen. He's got our best interest at heart. Amen. We can know because we know, praise God. How can you know? You say, preacher, how can you know? We get three witnesses. Number one, the one that we read about this morning, Christ's promise. Christ made us a promise, amen. And if we just acknowledge His person, praise God, acknowledge Him who He is, then He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. Hey, He was on the cross of Calvary. He was lifted up, praise God. If we lift you up, realize what He did for us. He said, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, He says here, He says, if we lift up the Savior, we realize that He's been crucified for the sins of the world. He said, and whosoever, that includes the spectrum, that includes me and you this morning. If we believe in what God done for us, amen, we can have that blessed assurance. We can have salvation. We can have a life that's not going to perish. Amen. That's a life that fades away. That's a life that's been made useless. Amen. Not only there, but here. Praise the Lord. Said He gives us a usefulness right here. He said, but have eternal life. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. That's how much He loved us, that He gave His Son. That whosoever, there it is again, believeth in Him, who, Jesus, should not perish. There's that word again, to be defiled and made useless. Amen. He said, praise God, God created you, praise God, if you just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, it's been lifted up, that you can be made profitable. Amen. But He said, should not perish, but have, here it is again, everlasting life. Now the Lord, the Holy Ghost, praise God, is pretty consistent. He said, believing in Him, have eternal life. He said, believe in Him and have everlasting life. He said, if you don't understand what eternal life is, just believe, praise God, in everlasting life. He said, that's a life that won't wear out, praise God. It won't get old and stale. Amen. It'll be a life, praise God, that God can use. That'll be a blessing and bring glory to His name. But in order to have that this morning, it implies that we have to acknowledge of our personal need. Amen. The Lord said, we got to look up to Him. We got to acknowledge that we have a need. You know, it's easy to look around the congregation in the auditorium this morning and say, you know what? I believe old Brother Charles needs something. It's easy to look around and say, you know, I believe old Brother Bill, he needs a touch of God. But I bet, hey, it's a little harder when you look down at your old Bacon Bill in the mirror at yourself and say, you know what? I believe old Jeff needs something. Amen. I pray God, we have to acknowledge that we need something from the Lord. We need to acknowledge that we need help. We need to acknowledge our own sinfulness. Amen. Sinfulness. Our sinfulness, praise God. The Roman Catholics say, well, you know, you can be justified, but if you commit that mortal sin, amen, then you're going to have to go back and be recapped. You ought to be re-justified. That means that Jesus left down on the cross again for your sins. The Bible said He died once for all. One time. Yes, sir. Amen. He died once for all. So that all can go free, praise God. Be pardoned from their sin. Amen. Hey, they say, well, to believe in a blessed assurance is the sin of presumption. It's presuming upon something, praise God, that you don't know. In other words, their definition is presumption is an unreasonable confidence. I tell you what, this morning I ain't got an unreasonable confidence. Praise God, my confidence is in the Lord. Let me show you something. Look over at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Now listen to verse 11. He said, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Amen. Praise God. If that's a false confidence, amen, I'm just count me guilty. But praise God, the confidence I have, it's real. Praise God. It's in a real person, Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God, it's real to get me all the way to the house, just like it will you. Amen. It's not an unreasonable confidence that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. My faith is in Him. Amen. Our faith, amen. Hey, praise God. It must be directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's wrong with a lot of these false teachings, praise God? It's directing our faith at something else. Amen. It's directing our faith in some man or some saint or some other thing. But the Bible says our faith, brother, has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to count on Him. We have to trust in Him. Our faith must be directed at Him. Now, our faith isn't in the baptism. Amen? Amen. It ain't dunking you in water. That don't get you saved. If you ain't saved when you go, you get baptized, praise God, you'll just come up old wet sinner. Amen? The Mass, saying your Mass, and your Hail Marys, that won't get you saved. That won't get you to heaven, amen. And it's not in works, lest any man should boast. It's not in how good we try to be. Oh, we ought to try to be good. We'll strive for perfection. But it's how good we are is not what's going to get us in heaven. It's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him. Amen. He's the sufficiency to get us to glory when this thing's over. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not about the amount of faith that we have either. Amen. Our faith will let us down. My faith might get weak. But it's in the very object of my faith. The object of my faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Him highly exalted, praise God, risen from the dead, sat at the right hand of the Father on high, my great advocate to make intercession for me. Boy, praise God, that touched my heart. Amen. That He had loved me enough to make intercession for me. But He loved you enough this morning to make intercession for you. Praise the Lord. Why? Hey, that's how we know, praise God, He loved us, because He's there for us. He said if we just believe it, what does it mean to believe? To trust in, to adhere to rely on, amen. Trust in and rely on Him and adhere to what He says. You know, our life would be so much easier if we just listened to God. We try to keep pressing on by ourselves and do things our own way. Praise God, God's got a road map in 66 books that points us in the right direction. A road that Brother Charles talked about this morning that's straight, amen, there's no curves in it, there's no places to get out, and there ain't no stop signs. Amen. Praise God, it's a go all the way, glory to God, if we'll just trust the Lord. But we must trust to Him in faith. Our faith needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that person of Christ. Amen. It's not in what we know. I know a lot of people tell me, they say, well, preacher, if I knew more about the Bible, I'd be a witness for Jesus. Amen. If you know the risen Savior, praise God, that's all you need to know. Amen. You're saying, well, we don't need to study, read. No, you need all you can get. But praise God, I tell you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and that free pardon of sin, praise God, you know enough to lead somebody to Christ. Just tell them, praise God, what He did for you. That testimony, praise God, that people can see in your life. Amen. See that change in your life. See that person that lives in you, which is Christ the Lord. He makes that difference. He makes the changes in you. Praise the Lord. It's not what we do. Not the works. Praise God. If it was that everybody could get in. Hey, I told you before, if I took a piece of paper and I put 20 things on earth you had to do to get to heaven, it'd be people lying. And if you did every one of them, praise God, you'd be a shoe into heaven. There'd be people lined up beating on the door with money to get them, to get that list, wouldn't they? But the Bible says all we got to do is put our faith and believe on Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. It's as simple a child can do it. But He said we have that witness in Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it's in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not even in our prayer life, Brother Jeff. Do you know, no matter how we pray or how much we pray, it don't change God's mind not one whit about any old sinner. He said, wait a minute, preacher. If we pray hard, God will move on them old sinners. Sure He will. But hey, He loved them old sinners with a godly love, praise God, before you ever opened your mouth. Amen. Get newsflash this morning. God loves old sinners. Amen. How do you know? Because He loved me when I was lost without Him. And amen, I'm saved. I'm still just an old sinner saved by grace. And He still loves me. Amen. Praise God. Hey, it didn't make no... You know what happens when we pray and we put our faith in God? It's that transfer of trust that gets us in a right relationship with God. The transfer of trust. Like the young would say, I can trust Jesus. Amen. If we trust the Lord, praise God, He's promised us He'd get us home in the presence of the Father. We've been made put back in a right relationship with the God of glory because we transfer our trust, amen, to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the promise of Christ that is the first witness to our lives, the first witness of our salvation. Amen. Ain't you glad you know about Jesus? But I'm glad I went way past scissor. I went past knowing Him, I know Him in my heart. I believed on Him, praise God, unto salvation. Praise the Lord. Number one is Christ's promise. Number two is a witness, is the witness of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God that lives in us. Look at Romans. Let me just read Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Bible said the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That's what? That we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. So he said the Holy Spirit is that witness of God, amen, that shows us where we need to be, helps us to get there, and keeps us there once we're there. Ain't you glad for that this morning? I'm glad I don't have to keep myself. I'm glad there's a Spirit of God lives in me, moved in, regenerated me, indwells me, praise God, and is fixing me up for glory. Hey, listen this morning, if you're saved, you've got a Holy Ghost appointment, amen, ahead of you. You got somebody that's on your side. And if you're a child of God this morning, the Holy Ghost God sealed you and gave you a guarantee, praise God, of a possession. Kind of a warranty. Amen, a guarantee. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, He said, in whom ye all trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Amen, talking about Christ, that you trusted in Christ. He said, in whom ye also trusted, after that that ye heard the word of truth, which is Christ, the gospel which is about Christ, of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now listen to this, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. He said, praise God. He said, this is the earnest. He said, this is the guarantee, praise God, that Holy Ghost of God that lives in you. You say, preacher, I don't know a whole lot about that. Maybe you don't have Him this morning. If you've ever been born again, the Holy Ghost of God moves into your heart. You say, well, preacher, I thought you just got those feelings of the Holy Ghost. Praise God, that comes after salvation. When you dig into the Word, and the Word begins to dig into you, amen. And it begins to get rooted in you. You begin to be filled with Spirit. But praise God, when you get saved, when you get born again, there's a sweet Spirit of God that moves into you and indwells you. He stays with you. He goes with you. He walks with you. He regenerates you. He indwells you. He shows you where you're at. Shows you where to need to be. Praise God, walks with you. Talks with you. Comforts you. Amen. When you need it. Praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost does. That's the second witness, praise God, that we have. Hey, praise the Lord. He comforts us. Amen. He's that guarantee. He's like that drop of proof, praise God, that we need. But it's just like kind of when it rains and that one little drop of rain falls and you think, well, that's not very significant. Amen. That's kind of like the Holy Ghost of God when it moves into your heart, praise God. You may say, well, that ain't over. The Holy Ghost moved into old Brother Bill. That ain't very significant. But praise be to God. Listen, that first drop of rain, that first drop of the Holy Ghost of God that moved into his heart, that's a guarantee, praise God, that going to be from overflowing with the glorious of things of God, praise God, in the future. Amen. Not right now. It's like you get that one drop of rain and sooner or later, praise God, it run down and it ends up in an ocean. Amen. That's what happens when we get saved. Praise the Holy Ghost. God moves in. It begins to fill us. Amen. Fills us, and it fills us to overflowing. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know about this feeling overflowing, because we've never truly got in, allowed the Lord to be the Lord of our life. Amen. Praise God. When he gets so full, sometimes it gets to running over. It comes out your eyelids. Amen. Amen. It gets to coming, it gets to running out because you're so full. Praise the Lord. He said, hey, listen, this is what the promise is, the promise of the Holy Ghost God. It's that guarantee. Not only is the guarantee, but it's the seal. Look back at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Look what he says. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. Not only is it the guarantee, but praise God, it's the seal. He seals you up, praise God. And if we'll let Him, He'll keep those things out that would corrupt us. He seals us up, praise God, so that the good will stay in and the bad will stay out. Amen. That's a witness of the Holy Spirit. That's what shows us, praise God, that we're saved. Amen. It's that new nature that's energized. It's energized by the indwelling Spirit. That new nature, praise God, that's in me and you when we're saved. Have you ever noticed a new man, new creation? Huh? Are you different now than what you used to be? Amen. We ought to be. And that leads to spiritual growth. Amen. Now, sometimes there's a dramatic change when we get saved. Hey, some of us that need a dramatic change because we've been pretty wicked, but we're all old sinners. Sometimes the change is a little more subtle. But I want to say, praise God, if God saves you by His marvelous grace, there'll be a change. Amen? That inner certainty that comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit, do you have that inner certainty day in your heart that you know, praise God, if you start to go home and you get run over by a semi-truck, praise God, or where are you going to spend eternity? Amen. There ain't a doubt in my mind, praise God. When this old body goes back to the ground, when you come, praise God, my spirit's going to be at the Lord. Amen. The one that give it. Going back to Him, praise God. You may bring this old body over here and you may say a few words over it, put it in a hole somewhere, but praise God, that part of me that makes me breathe and move and have my being, it's already in heaven. I won't say, praise God, there's a part of me already there this morning. Why? Because my Savior's there. My inheritance is sealed. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. Amen. He's given me that blessed inheritance. So that's that witness of the Holy Spirit. That's number two. Number three is a witness of a fruit of a new life. Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2 gives us that witness of fruit, that new life. James chapter 2 and verse 14. He's talking about those works that we do, works that accompany salvation. Are you doing anything for Jesus? Boy, it got awful quiet. You ought to have said, yes, preacher, I am. Glory to God. I'm testifying. I'm praising the Lord. I'm telling them about the Lord. Telling about my salvation everywhere I go. Amen. Oh, me. But James says in James chapter 2, verse 14, he said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Now, this is what he goes on to say. He said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? He said, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You say, well, preacher, I believe in the Lord. He said, he goes on and says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devil knows that there's one God. He believes that there's one God, but he's still the devil. Amen. He's never been saved. But he says, hey, listen, if there's some fruit of our works, praise God. If we've been born again this morning, praise God, we know exactly where God wants us to be. And we know exactly, amen, God will put us where He'll show us what He wants us to do. You say, how do you know what He wants you to do? He wants you to be a witness for Him. He wants you to lift up the name of Jesus. And we have a, sometimes us Baptists, we think, well, you know, there's just certain things. You got to do this and you got to do that. And you got to. The Bible says we're just to be a witness of Christ, a disciple, a follower of Christ, one that tells about Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. What is our job this morning? To lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. To lift up the name of Jesus. To tell others about Him. Amen. So we see a witness here in the Lord's promise. We see a witness here in the Holy Spirit. And we see a witness here in our fruitfulness. Look at Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to hurry. I'm about finished. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5 and 22. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness, goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He said that fruitfulness is in the Lord. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love. He said the fruit of the Spirit is joy. You know we're supposed to have joy in our heart. That means every now and then we ought to be able to smile. Amen. Or to be able to give big old, to show them pearly whites every now and then. Because we got joy in our heart, amen. Because we love the Lord and know that He loves us. He said it's peace, it's long-suffering and gentleness, goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. But now notice what He goes on and says in verse 25. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also, what? Walk in the Spirit. Amen. He said, in other words, if the Holy Ghost of God's in you, walk like He's in you. Amen. In other words, your talk, your actions, your reactions, praise God, will be a little bit different. And for some of us, it'll be a whole lot different. Amen. The witness of the Holy Ghost. See, it ought to be a fruitful life. We ought to be producing fruit. And listen, by the way, we have to work at this. It don't come easy. Amen. It's something that we have to strive for. Amen. You have to work at being good. And when we do this, when we begin to put forth that effort, then God begins to bless it. And sometimes there's a large growth. We see some people that get saved. That's what I was talking about a while ago. Some people you see just get in and just on fire all at once. And you see some people that's real subtle. But a lot of that is the difference in how we get in. Hello? If they somebody that wants a large growth, then that's somebody that's going to want proper training. They're going to want to know all about the Lord. They're going to want to know how they should act, how they should react. They should desire to draw closer. They should have a strong desire for a Christian fellowship. Amen? If we've truly been born again, if we want to be strong Christians, we want to have large growth, you'll desire Christian fellowship. You won't want to hang out there at the world no more. Amen? You'll want to get in where you can get in. You'll want that personal knowledge, amen, for strong growth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll want to know all about your Lord and Savior. You'll want all about the God the Father. Amen. You'll want to know about that place, praise God, that you're preparing for. See, this is our preparation place. This is a place of preparation, a place of preparing. Some will get in. Some will have strong growth. These others that'll be mediocre. Some will wander in the wilderness without guidance. Amen. In their newfound faith, and they'll become dissuaded. They'll become a castaway. Paul said, "I don't want to become a castaway." What does that mean? That means to be made useless. They'll have this newfound faith and they believe on the Lord, but they'll not. But if we don't get in, if you don't get in fellowship and in relationship and in the gospel and the Word of God, amen, you'll be a weak Christian. But if you want that strong growth, praise God, and you get in and get full, then God won't put you on shelf and put you out of service. See, if we're not living right and doing right and living what we profess, God take us out of service. Amen? And we take ourselves out of service because all we are is we're misleading those around us. And then there'll be some that'll make a profession of faith and they'll go back into their old habits. Amen? They'll go back into their old attitudes. They won't have new habits. They won't have new attitudes. I wonder about folks like that. Without that change in us, we need to examine ourselves. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look what he says in verse 17. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. Now notice this word. He is. Not could be. Not he might be. But he is a new creature. That new man, that new woman, new creation. Old things are passed away. That's those old lifestyles and those old habits. See, that's what kills me about they say, well, you know, these sodomites say, well, you know, I was born that way and I can't help it. No, it's sin. It's practice sin. It's just like a drunkard. It's just like a drug addict. It's just like a fornicator. It's practice sin. Amen. Amen? And if you get born again, Holy Ghost of God moves in you. Praise God, He'll take you out of that sin. It makes me sick to my stomach. Kevin's preacher stand up and you say, well, you know, Brother Jeff, they got saved and they love the Lord, but you know, they're still drunkards and they're still drug addicts and they're still this. And still, hey, if they get born again, I'm still old-fashioned enough to believe that a God big enough to save them from a devil's hell is strong enough to save them from a drink and a drug, praise God, and a fornicating heart, amen, and put them on the right road, praise God, a road that's straight and narrow that leads to salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe there's a difference in us when we get saved. He said it becomes a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's caused to be. All those old things we are caused to be different. The cause is that's in her heart. Amen. The Holy Ghost of God that's moved in, taking up his book. See, I've told you before, he comes in, praise God, if we let him, kicks off his shoes and takes up housekeeping. Amen. And that something big as the Spirit of God moves in, praise God, there'll be a difference. Paul says, if there's not a difference, then we need to check up because something ain't right. Well, but what we have to ask our question more, have we truly believed unto salvation? Amen. With enough faith to believe that God can save us and keep us. I believe we've missed salvation, missed the reality of salvation. Amen. Salvation is a spiritual change. That spiritual change that salvation brings, amen, in the hearts and minds of his people. The old nature desires sin. Amen. Sinful things. The new nature, that new man, he desires righteousness. That's right in the eyes of God. They'll be different. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and 10, he said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. That means to exhort effort, to put forth effort, to exercise your faith. He said, give diligence to make your call and election sure. Amen. That you can know that you're saved. Praise the Lord. In 1 John 5:13, that you may know that you have, not might have, not could have, but that you may know that you have eternal life. He said, that's believing unto salvation. Amen. So God tells us with three witnesses, the promise of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the faith, praise God, and the very help that He gives us, praise God, through faith. That's faith that works, by the way. Amen. That we are a child of God. Amen. We have a witness. We have three right here, simple witnesses of our salvation, that we believed unto salvation. I want to ask you a question more. Have you believed unto salvation? Have you been made that new creature in Christ Jesus? I believe there's a whole lot of Christians today, especially us fundamental independent Bible believing Baptists, that we're hanging right on the edge, and we don't know which side we want to play on. There was a mama put her little boy to bed one night. Hadn't been just maybe 15, 20 minutes. She heard a big thump, and she went in there and she looked at him. She said, "Son, what happened to you? He fell out of the bed." He said, "I guess I was too close to where I got in." Amen. I guess I was too close to where I got in. I believe there's a lot of us that's staying too close to where we got in. It's time in this late hour that we live, praise God, that we make our profession sure, our call and election sure. Say, "Lord, I want to know that I belong to you, and I want you to use me. I want you to fill me with your presence and direct me in my path. The path that you'd have me to go." But we have to ask our question, the question this morning, in this new year, have you truly believed unto salvation? Have you been born again? Have you been born from above? You may have been in church all your life. You may have made 14 professions. But is there a difference in your life today? Is there a difference? Is God grooming you every day of your life? Amen. Does God chasten you? Does He touch your heart? Does He show you when you're wrong? Where do you stand today? It depends on whether you truly believed unto salvation or whether you've just made a little profession. See, repentance means that you turn from that stuff and you go in a different direction and you don't look back. Amen? If you've got things that keep drawing you back and keep drawing you back and keep drawing you back, that ain't true believing. That ain't faith in the Lord. But the Bible says we got to trust Him. To believe Him, we have to trust Him and rely on Him. Amen? And listen to Him and hear to Him. Are you doing all those things today? Are we doing all those things today? We have to if we've truly believed unto salvation. What about you this morning?